Thank you, Pastor. All right. Well, you didn't get in no hurry to turn it to me, so I'm in no hurry to get it back to you. John chapter 11 this morning, if you'll turn there. I hope you ate a good breakfast because we're going to be here a while. I'm just kidding. I forgot my watch, but my wife made me bring my phone up here so I could see what time it is. So I will look at it once in a while, maybe. Thanks, Chad, for doing that for me. Have you got there yet? John chapter 11. Let's read verses 1 through 3. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sisters sent to him, saying to Jesus, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Let's go ahead and I'm going to go through verse number 6. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Through what? Through the sickness. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. You need to understand that Mary and Martha and Lazarus' house there in Bethany was the place that Jesus would go to for rest and for fellowship. And when he had to get away from the crowds and find a place where he could just prop up his feet and be Jesus, that was where he would go. All right? So when he heard, verse 6, that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Father, thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. We're going to look at this story briefly this morning. Whatever briefly means. Y'all don't understand that word here, so I won't go into detail. But I'm going to talk to you about 3 things. I'm going to talk to you about the bed of Lazarus, the tomb of Lazarus, and the chair of Lazarus. You understand that? All right, let's start. Number 1, the bed of Lazarus. Lazarus was in bed, sick unto death, when they sent for Jesus. That's in verse number 3. Lazarus was in bed, sick unto death, when Jesus didn't come to see him. That's in verse number 6. Now I want to talk to you about this bed. The bed is the place where God causes disjointed families to get together. Now stay with me this morning. The bed is the place where trouble gets your attention. When you're sick unto death, nothing else matters. Lord, you have my full attention. The sick bed represents trouble. That's something has gone wrong. The bed represents that private part of our lives where things are just not right. And the bed is the place where Mary and Martha lay aside their differences and they call on the name of God. That's in verse number 3. Now you know about Mary and Martha, don't you? They were sisters, but they didn't get along all the time. Anybody here that's a sister got a sister? Then I don't have to tell you too much about that. They had different philosophies on how you ought to worship Jesus. They're like us, some of our doctrines. You see, Mary thought that you just sat at the feet of Jesus and listened to everything He said. Martha thought that you served Jesus by doing things for Him. I love Martha. I'd do a whole sermon on the Martha ministry. Leave Martha alone. I love her. It was Martha. If you remember this, it was Martha who went to meet Jesus when she heard that He was coming. It was Martha who said, "I know He'll rise again in the resurrection." It was Martha who declared that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And where was Mary? Verse number 20 says she's still sitting in the house sniffling. So Mary thought Martha was a busybody and Martha thought Mary was lazy. Just normal sisters. We raised 3 girls and they loved one another and they would defend each other to the death. But sometimes I'd have to separate them from each other. Now, Kaylee, does Allie always do everything you want her to do? Or sometimes, Christina, do you need to separate them? All the time. So you understand where I'm going with this. They're not getting along. But you don't read about them having any more problems with one another. No more fussing and fighting when Lazarus gets sick. They don't have time to argue. They don't have time to decide who's right and who's wrong. They said, "We've got to pray." You see, there's a trouble that can break loose in your house that is so bad that it'll make you forget all these little petty differences. It doesn't matter who's right. It doesn't matter who's wrong. The only thing that matters and the only thing that is important is that somebody knows how to touch God. So the bed is that place where God brings us into agreement because we've all got private problems. But we have to have a unity and we've got to stand together if we're going to get an answer from God. Now, understand this. Chris taught us some of this morning in our Sunday school lesson. God will use trouble to preach to you. I mean, when He's exhausted all other means and you refuse to listen, He knows how to get our attention. He knows how to talk to us on our level. God would rather talk to us on His level, but if He has to, He'll come down to where we are and talk to us on our level. You remember the story, I'm not going to preach it because of time's sake, but you remember the story in 2 Samuel where David brought Absalom back to Israel, back to Jerusalem, but he wouldn't let him come and see him. For 2 years he was there and he couldn't see the king. And Absalom wanted to see him. So he sends a message to Joab. "I want to see the king." And Joab didn't respond. And so Absalom sent another message and Joab didn't respond. So Joab said, Absalom set Joab's barley field on fire. Remember the story, 2 Samuel, look it up and read it sometime, chapter 14. Joab comes running, he said, "Why in the world did you set my field on fire?" And Absalom said, "Well, I sent for you twice and you wouldn't come. I had to do something to get your attention. I want you to understand me. God does not want to do that, But if God has to set your field on fire in order to get your attention, He's going to do that. So Lazarus is in bed, and God says, "Can I have your attention, please?" The spiritual sick bed, that's where I'm going with this, is that place where the home remedies won't work anymore. Money in the bank won't do it. A new job doesn't make it better. Grandma's chicken noodle soup just not helping. The bed is the place where all human effort fails and falls miserably short. Suddenly, there's this vacancy that is so wide that we come to realize that it's going to take God to fix this. And if God don't do it, it won't get done. Listen to Mary and Martha. Listen, we put ice packs on it. We put pillows under him. We elevated his head. We elevated his feet. We rubbed him down. We rolled him over. And Lazarus is still dying. We've been to therapy. We've been to the doctor. We had it analyzed and cauterized. We went to counseling. We bought the book and ordered the tapes. And Lazarus is still dying. Somebody needs to go get Jesus. So they sent for Jesus in verse 3, and verse 6 says, He didn't come. How come? Have you ever thought of that? Why didn't Jesus? He's in the healing business. Why didn't he go? Well, nobody's at the house except Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. That's it. And it's a place where everything's kind of private. Everybody's got those places that we don't want to talk about. All of us have those private problems and those private issues. But why didn't Jesus come to the bed and help? No. Watch this. Because if he had come at that time, he wouldn't have gotten enough glory. You understand what I'm saying? In verse 4, Jesus said, "This is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified." Mary, Martha, and Lazarus already believed in Jesus. So the miracle was just going to be for them. And that wasn't enough. No witnesses around for him to get the optimum glory out of the ultimate pain. And when you've gone through the ultimate pain in your life, God wants to get the optimum glory out of that. Now let me say something here. The other two points are shorter, so don't freak. Whenever God doesn't move when you think God should move, He's setting you up for something. When you prayed and you think God's just fooling around somewhere, it's a setup. When it looks like God is ignoring your situation, He's setting you up. When He doesn't bring you out, when you thought you needed to be brought out, God is setting you up. And I'm just telling you this morning that God is setting somebody up in this place, at this time, for a miracle in your life. And when He does, give Him the optimum glory. So, according to verse 14, Jesus said, Lazarus is dead. Now, I want you to watch this. Problem can't be hidden in the house any longer. Pastor Jesus didn't go visit him when he was sick. He didn't go visit him at home. He didn't make a hospital visit. He didn't call him. He didn't text him. He didn't send him a card or a poem or a flower. He didn't even send one of the deacons or Millard over to check on him. Nothing. And Lazarus died. And then to make it worse, he didn't even go to the funeral. His best friend, according to Scripture. And he didn't even go to his funeral. And the reason, listen to me, the reason that God is not interested in coming to your funerals, where you're burying your hopes, and you're burying your dreams, and you're burying your faith because you've given up on God, because you think He wasn't coming to your rescue, God is not in the burying business. God is in the bringing back to life business. God is in the business of raising you up, not putting you down. And when Jesus shows up at funerals, things come back alive. So, when they get through fainting and falling and screaming and hollering, Jesus says, "Where have you laid him? Where'd you put him?" I mean, he didn't even get there for the graveside service. So now we're going from the bed to the tomb. He's bringing trouble out of the house. Problems going public. You can hide that junk for a while and nobody will know it. But there's going to come a day when everybody's going to know what's going on. So now we're at the tomb. Verse 34, Jesus said, "Just take me over where you laid him." Now I want you to notice something here. It's not private anymore. And now there's a lot of Jews around. Verse 33, verse 36, verse 37, verse 42. I'm not going to read them, but that all tells you that. So Jesus waits until all the critics get there. Now he's got enough witnesses to get all the glory that he wants. And as soon as everybody shows up, Jesus said, "Roll the stone away." In verse 39, we're fixing to put the trouble on display. The whole world's going to see it. But the girl said, "He stinks." Well, let me tell you something here. I've been a mortician for 40 years. I figured I wanted to be a mortician and a pastor, because all the people that hurt me when I was pastoring them, I'd get the last say-so when I had them on the embalming table. So let me tell you a little something about this. Decomposition starts in 4 minutes after a person dies. 4 minutes. In 3 days, if they have not been embalmed, the internal organs have decomposed to a point that they begin to explode and putrefy. Now, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. You don't need to know all of that. But here's something you need to know. Jews do not believe in embalming. And you got to bury, the Jews bury within 24 hours of death. That's all the time you have. In fact, the law in the state of Arkansas says, if you're not going to have a direct burial within 24 hours, the body has to be embalmed. That's the law. Unless you're going to be cremated, and then you put them in the morgue and keep them cool until you do whatever it is you want to do with them. So you have to understand, 3 days in the Israeli sun, in a hot tomb, the condition that Lazarus' body was beginning to be in. Yeah, he stunk. I've had to pick up a few individuals that had expired from being in a hot house for 2 and 3 days before anybody found them. And you can smell them before you ever get there. Aren't you glad that we have a God who can take care of the stinky stuff in our lives? So they've all gathered. Some believed, but most of them didn't. And I can just see that crowd huddling together. Jesus is standing in front of the tomb, and here they are. And Jesus says what? Lazarus, come forth. Here they are, Chris. Did you hear what he said? Can't you smell him? What in the world? That guy has lost it. I mean, we got people sitting in church every service that thinks the same thing. They think you've lost it. But you know I have, but he's not far behind me. I mean, no way, people think, no way is so-and-so ever going to get saved. No way are they ever going to get healed. No way can they get delivered and set free. Lazarus is dead. I'm never going to get a better job because Lazarus is dead. I'm stuck on this dead-end street for the rest of my life because Lazarus is dead. I'm never going to have enough money to retire. Lazarus is dead. My marriage is never going to get better. Lazarus is dead. My kids are never going to straighten up. Lazarus is dead. Well, my parents are never going to get it together either because Lazarus is dead. But it is God who calls things back alive. Lazarus! It is God who calls hopeless situations to live again. Lazarus! It is God who commands dead faith to rise up and walk. Lazarus! And when God gets ready to call you up, He's not going to ask you what you think about it. He's just going to call you by name and tell you to come forth. Aaron! Come forth. Loretta! Come forth. His voice is probably better than mine, but there's a time in your faith when you can't see anything, but you can hear something. And you have to have the faith that shouts about something when something hasn't happened yet. Because down in your spirit, God is going to give you a breakthrough. It's not here, but you can hear it calling. I'm telling you that God is bringing you a blessing today. Get over yourself and receive it. The enemy says you can't come out because you're all tied up. But when God gets ready to bring you out, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Somebody ought to shout, I'm coming out. So what did Lazarus do? That's one ugly Lazarus, isn't it? And that's the way he's bound up. Except he has a napkin over his face. I don't know where I got that picture. Now stay with me here. He's still bound head and foot when Jesus called him out of the tomb. His head, according to the Scripture, is covered with a napkin in verse 44. But watch this. You can come out and still be tied up. But you can't get loose until you come out. And you have to come out any way you can. He is bound, but he's coming out. He cannot lift his hands and pray Jesus, but he's coming out. He cannot see where he's going, but he's coming out. He's all wrapped up, but he's coming out. And when he gets out, Jesus says, loose him and let him go. And I'll touch on that when I'm closing. Notice what Jesus said to them. To them. Loose him. Jesus said, I've done my part. I called him out. Lazarus said, I've done my part. I've come out. And now it's up to you to turn him loose and set him free. That's why Pastor calls you to come up and pray with people. They've done their part. Jesus has called them out. But we're the ones that can set them free. I'm not even going to go into explaining to you what Jesus said. Greater things than these shall you do. Because I'm gone. We have that power to set people free today. Once you get out of your sin and darkness and into His wonderful light, He starts setting you free. But you got to come out first. You can't live right till you get out. Some of you are here today and you're trying to get everything fixed first. And when you get it all together, then you're going to serve God. Sweetheart, that ain't never going to happen. You got to come out. Even if you're all tied up. You need to be saying with thee this morning, I'm tied up, but I'm coming out. My life is a mess, but I'm coming out. I hope this thing don't cave in. Who built this thing? You used 2x12s, didn't you? I've been sick unto death long enough, I'm coming out. I have been discouraged and depressed and angry and mad at the whole world and everybody in it. But I am coming out. I don't have the right clothes to wear to church, but I'm coming out anyway. I don't know what is going to happen next in my life, but I hear Him calling my name, and I'm coming out. I'm coming out of this tomb that has held me captive long enough. I got to quit. I've talked about the bed. I've talked about the tomb. What's this chair business? And I'm going to end with this. It's not in chapter 11. It's in chapter 12. Let me read it to you. Verse number 2. Chapter 12, verse number 2. Don't put it up, hon. There they made him supper. Now watch this. And Martha served. Oh, I love Martha. Martha knew how to get things done. Mary, Mary, Mary. Didn't know how to do nothing but sit on her seat with her stargazing at Jesus. And you hear these one-legged preachers all the time preaching about Mary, Mary, all because she did that one thing needful. One thing. Somebody had to cook. Somebody had to clean. Somebody had to wash the bed sheets. Somebody had to make his bed. Somebody had to wash his feet. Martha. Give me a Martha any day. I'll take one Martha. You can have 100 Marys. That's just an illustration. Listen. What happened to Lazarus after Jesus raised him from the dead? You don't hear anything else about this man. We don't know what happened to him after this, except this verse right here in chapter 12. Sitting. He's sitting at a table with Jesus. I'm telling you, if God had raised me from the dead, you wouldn't be able to keep me quiet. I'd have been booking a service in every church that would let me. I'd have been preaching and screaming and went up slapping everybody till they fell down. I'd have been singing to the... I'd have said, Chris, get out of the way. And I'd have been singing, look what the Lord has done. But you don't hear nothing out of Lazarus except that he's sitting at the table with Jesus after Jesus raised him from the dead. Now, it says, and I'm down to the last page, and it's 3 minutes after 12 for your information. Sorry, Kelby. I'm done. People came for miles to see him. Let me read verses 9 through 11, and then I'm closing. You've already done your shouting and praying, so. Now, a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, knew Jesus was back at Bethany. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death. Not Jesus, Lazarus. Why? Because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Hallelujah. See, God's calling you to come out. The bed's not the place that God has for you. The bed's a place of sickness and sadness, disease and disappointment, troubles and trials, secrets and seclusion. The tomb's not the place God has for you. That's a place of death and despair, weeping and wailing, grieving and groaning and griping, giving up and going under. God's place for you is the chair. Because the chair represents sitting in His presence. Stand with me this morning. I know you may not be loose yet. Maybe you've not even come out yet. You're still living in sin. You're still refusing to serve Jesus and accept Him into your heart and into your life. Then Jesus is calling you to come out of that life. Come into a life that is joy unspeakable and full of glory. But maybe you've come out of sin. You've heard Him call, but you're still tied up with stuff. Doesn't mean you're not saved. It just means you're not free. You're not loose. But if you'll come out this morning, There's enough folks here to set them loose. You see, God gives us that responsibility. That's why we pray with people. God has a chair. You ever been to a fancy place to eat or some kind of a special deal? And they got a chair and they got a reserved sign there with your name on it? Jesus has one of those at His table with your name on it. He wants you to come and fellowship with Him and sit with Him and enjoy His presence. Heads bowed. Father, thank You this morning. God, I've been serving You for over 60 years, and there's still things that I have to come out of from time to time. Still things that I need to shake off and get loose from. Lord, I pray this morning that if there's anybody here under the sound of my voice that is still dead in trespasses and sins, that they'll come out of that today. And Lord, if there's somebody here that is saved, but they're still tied up, they're struggling with discouragement and depression and anxiety and anger and frustration and sickness and whatever it is that may still be trying to hold them back, Lord, that they come out of that this morning. You're calling them by name. Come forth. Come forth. Anybody here this morning, I'm just for a minute, and I'm going to turn it back to Pastor and we're going to quit. Anybody here this morning, you hear Him calling you? Lazarus would still be dead and stinking. Jesus could have called him all day long, but if Lazarus hadn't have come out, he'd still be a dead man. Jesus can speak to your heart this morning. And if you don't know Him as your personal Savior, you can still walk out of here a dead man today. He can't do anything if you don't want to come out. Anyone this morning, quickly, you need Jesus in your life. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Just lift your hand and say, Miller, yep, I need to come out of what I've been in. I want to serve the Lord. All right? Anybody here this morning, you've come out, but you're still trying to get loose from some stuff. You here this morning? Lift your hand. Thank You, thank You, thank You, thank You. I want you here's how we're going to do this, Pastor. I'll close it if it's all right. I want you just to reach over to the person. I'm not going to tell you who raised their hand, and I'm not going to call them to come forward. I'm just going to ask everybody. Jesus said, y'all loose them. So God's anointed you with the power this morning to help one. So you don't know who raised their hand. So you just, if they'll let you, be smart about it. But just reach over and put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you. If it's offensive to them, don't do it. And pray for them right now as I pray with you. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, God, You gave us the authority and the power to set people free. And Lord, there were people that raised their hand this morning. They love You, they're serving You, but they're still dealing with stuff. They need to get free. God, we pray for them. Set them loose today, God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, I love and appreciate You, Lord. So thankful, oh God, for Your Word. Pray that You will let it be applied to our hearts and our lives. Lord, I pray, God, that the stinky things in our life, Lord, help us to get rid of it. Those things that has bound us, Lord, we get rid of them. For God, to whom the Son set free, He is free indeed. Father God, we love You, we appreciate You, and thank You, Lord Jesus. Bless and touch Your people. Keep them safe under the blood of Jesus Christ. We give You praise and glory. Everyone said, amen. God bless you. See you at 6 o'clock this evening.